4 weeks from today, college basketball is here. Prepare accordingly. News out of Minnesota today. Curtis Dunlop, offensive guard, has entered the transfer portal. Had a good 2019 season, then suffered an Achilles injury. He has been rotating in and out, plays guard. He has played in every game. He has entered the transfer portal this morning. So he will not be part of the Golden Gophers on Saturday. The injury, it sounds like, just texting back and forth with somebody that covers their program, said he has not fully come back from the injury, even though he has played a fair good amount this year. I don't think they're really happy with this, the timing of him going into the portal in the middle of the season. But P.J. Fleck will use it as, Curtis didn't want to be here. It's okay. We love him. We love him. He can always row the boat, but he's not in the boat this Saturday. You're in the boat. Nebraska doesn't want to be in our boat. They made fun of our boat. Oh, he'll pull out all the stops. All of the stops as a motivation. I wonder if we took P.J. Fleck aside and said, of the teams that are in your own division, who do you want to beat the most? He has to say Wisconsin, because that's the rivalry. Right? They're playing for an axe. When you play for an axe or a pig, you got to say that's your rival. I mean, they're playing for a chair. But I bet if you pressed him and said, hey, Peach, this is just between you and I, you don't need to send me 650,000 emails. Just between you and I, who do you want to beat the most in the West? He'll say Wisconsin. He'll say Wisconsin because he sees what Wisconsin does to his fan base. They had a tour of the state with the axe, okay? They took the axe around the state. Now, he hasn't been able to grab the pig, so he's probably like, nah, you know what, we're not there yet. But Nebraska is a school that I think he really, 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 really wants to beat. So he'll pull out all the stops. Plus, I respect what he has done because he has made Minnesota football relevant. People are talking about Minnesota football. And what they did in 2019, when people didn't think they were going to be very good, was impressive. They were 11-2, and they had a really, really good roster. Whether he inherited some of that talent or not, he got, in a short amount of time, Minnesota football headed in the right direction. Last year, they were besieged by off-the-field issues. They had major COVID problems, but yet they came in the middle of December, again, with like 22 guys. Guys were playing both ways. Now, you know I'm being sarcastic. And they beat Nebraska. Now, this year, they built up their first game of the year against Ohio State playing on a Thursday night. And they were hanging with Ohio State. And then the fourth quarter hit. They lose their star running back. But they responded. And at the time, we thought Colorado had a pulse. And they went to Colorado and shut out Colorado. But that Bowling Green loss sticks out. It sticks out. Bowling Green had won 13 games in their previous 56, and they beat Minnesota on homecoming. So, in 2021, and you look at the West, which there's possibly one team coming down. Who's that team going up? Saturday is a battle for second in the West, second best team in the West. Does Minnesota feel that way? Or is Minnesota, after a magical year in 2019, going to settle into, well, we're Minnesota football and we're like fourth or fifth in the division. It's again, just another added element. I think this is going to come down to one of the more important games of the entire season. Because I'll give you another number about Fleck. And this is the vibe I get from talking to people that cover them and their fan base when it comes to Fleck. They love 19. They love beating the rival. They would love to have that. People were talking about Minnesota football. There was a lot of excitement. Last year was really, it was a throwaway season for the entire program. They come back in 21. The Bowling Green loss is really, really making people ask hard questions. PJ Fleck, outside of that 11-2 season in 2019, he is 18-19 overall. Essentially, his first 50 games are the same record as the previous 50 games without him. So he's done a lot of good things for Minnesota. Now, he's also done some great things for the Minnesota football program and the university off the field in the causes that he has. And that's something that's near and dear to his heart, and I give him full credit for that. He is very much involved in the Children's Hospital and other causes in Minnesota. But in terms of football, you're going to look at two head coaches, and one has won the last two against the other, and they're 2-1. Frost, first year, beat Minnesota and beat them badly in Lincoln. Is who would I take? Which coach would you take right now to move your program forward? Scott Frost or PJ Fleck? Again, Fleck, 11-2 in 2019. But outside of that 11-2 season, he's 18-19. So this game becomes just, I'm the hype man for this game. And it's okay, because I think this is going to be a challenge for Nebraska. I think it'll be a challenge for Nebraska because it's not a team that has a number next to their name. And you're mentally, physically at the eighth game in 8 weeks and a bye ahead of you and playing a team that the last 2 years has been something that you strive to be. Physical. Discipline. Well, the physical part Nebraska's taken care of. I think the 2019 game that was referenced yesterday, when Nebraska went up there and that was the hoodie gate, that team was as soft as the stuff that's coming out of Josh's young one. They just were. They were mentally, they were very, very soft. And they went and played a team that said, we're going to beat the snot out of you. And they said, it's cold, it's night. Please. We looked last week where Nebraska's come from the third game of the regime against Michigan physically. Well, I think mentally and physically, Nebraska's in a much better spot than 19. Granted, they're older. There's a lot of guys that were on that team in 19, but were not the voices of that team. 2 years later, they're different. But Minnesota really is not that different, except for they don't have the abundance of talent. They still have the same quarterback in Tanner Morgan. I don't think they have the same mindset. They don't have a penchant for wanting to throw the ball downfield. It's kind of, back in 19, Minnesota, they bludgeoned you running the football, but when they needed to, they liked to throw the ball downfield. Nebraska in 19, they didn't want to throw the ball downfield. They wanted to go more sideways to sideways. They also didn't have the kind of receiving talent that they have now. And probably Lubick coming along says, why don't we try and stretch the field? And let's make Adrian make those throws. And so Nebraska's throwing the ball downfield. They enjoy that than Minnesota has right now. But what kind of a statement win would it be for Nebraska to win that game? I think it would say a lot. Don't poo-poo go, it's Minnesota. Because don't kid yourself. I'm on Big Red Overreaction, which I have a bad streak of. I hope that we break it this Saturday. Because I got big plans for Saturday night. I don't want it to be miserable. Is if I'm selling you hope and promise, I'm the guy on the corner, and I'm selling you hope and promise. When you pull off of the freeway and you go to the exit ramp, and there's the guy with his sign standing right there. He's got his chair, he's got his cooler, and he's got his sign, and he's got his ratty old Nebraska football cap on, and he's got the black t-shirt that had the helmets from 94, 95 that has been through the wash. He's standing there holding a sign that says hope and promise. He's not asking for any money. He's not telling you he's trying to get to California. Can you give him a lift or give him some coin? He's just holding a sign that says hope and promise. If I'm selling that to you and it says hope and promise, if you believe, throw some change in my cup. Yeah, right now you're probably doing that. But if it's next Monday morning and you're going to work and you take the freeway to work and you get off as you're headed into your office and that guy is still there and he says, hope and promise. you probably do the one that I know that we all do. When you see people that are panhandlers, you either all of a sudden you're looking at your phone, or you don't ever look at them. You completely ignore them, but you know that they are just staring at you, and you like completely look away. Or when you're getting off, you kind of hesitate, so maybe some car is in front of you, so you're not the lead car at the light. So I'm selling you hope and promise. You can't continue to sell me that if you're 3-5 in a bye week. If you're 4-4 and have beaten a team that you are perceived to be better than and is not on the level of the three teams that you most recently have played, you can still sell me hope and promise because it ended in a victory. There is an expiration date on, if you like the phrase, moral victories. Blah. I don't like the phrase, but I know the phrase exists. There is an expiration date on moral victories. So it's a challenge on Saturday, but I think it's an opportunity for Nebraska to make a statement. It's not going to resonate around the country. Ah, Nebraska beat Minnesota. They were supposed to. They were favorites. But around here, I think it says a lot. To be 4-4 in a bye instead of 3-5, and most importantly, you keep hope alive that the season will still be going on in December. But how realistic is it that Nebraska can win three of their next four in a program that is starting to stack performances but not stacking victories? And they do have a stretch here of four games where if you can grab three wins and be bowl eligible before you play the final game of the year, you've bought that hope and you have bought that promise. And that guy that is at the bottom of the freeway at the exit ramp, his cup is running over, and he's probably already left. And he's now he's outside of Gateway Mall in Lincoln doing the same thing, but now he's got like a different hat on and a different shirt. All right, 11-17. I think there's more elements to what kind of a statement we would make if Nebraska wins on Saturday against Minnesota. You beat Fleck. Fleck rubs you the wrong way. Fleck really wants to beat Nebraska. They're what Nebraska has wanted to be, physically good. Smart. Now, Minnesota is kind of befuddling the way their season has gone, but there are elements of Minnesota's program that I think Nebraska would like to be, and Nebraska looks like they have. And it's a road game. But those are the kind of games that if you're headed in the right direction, you're selling me hope and promise, is you find a way to win. I don't care if it's by a point. I don't care if it's by two. I don't care if it's by 21. I don't care if it's 84-13. A lot of people would care if it was 84-13. You win these kind of games, and you go into a bye, and people are still like, I got hope, I got promise, I can see it. And those moral victories, that expiration date that exists, it hasn't been expired yet. All right, 11-18. This is the Gary Sharp Show. We've got some nuggets coming out of Lincoln. This practice has ended on this Tuesday. Quentin Newsom has been handed a black shirt. The young cornerback who has made great strides this year in all elements, either defending the pass or he has gotten so much better against the run for somebody that is going to be an important part of that Travis Fisher room for a few years. All right, we're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this at 1620 The Zone.